I saw that Amazon was moving into the neighborhood. We had this Tiffany Caban race. We almost won it and then had this cataclysmic loss.
I think every single person was like, oh, well, if I just done 4 more shifts throughout the 6 months.
That was, I think, the hardest part for me. You know, part of you is just like, how did we get so close?
Everything Zoran does, he takes very seriously. The way he was when I met him isn't any different than he is now. He's able to just inspire people and organize people.
Welcome to the People's Republic of Astoria.
This is episode 4, 400 pounds.
I remember sliding the petition sheet that I had underneath the door of the office. You know, this was a very long year.
Breaking, Governor Cuomo has just announced all non-essential businesses must close.
These demonstrators are ready to confront these law enforcement officers.
Only my community looks like. This is my community looks like.
Only essential businesses will be functioning. This is the most drastic action we can take.
COVID hits, it hits all of us. And, you know, you could hunker down and let it pass you by, or, you know, you could step up and fight for something new.
It's March 15th, 2020. In New York City, steakhouses and department stores that haven't closed their doors for over a century, not for blizzards, hurricanes, or even blackouts, have closed up shop. And in Astoria, Queens, a young activist named Eric Thor is getting to work. Outside, a global pandemic has ground the world to a screeching halt. Inside, they've got an election to win.
I met Zoran while volunteering alongside the Tiffany Caban campaign in 2019, I guess, right?
Eric was one of the first volunteers to get involved with Zoran Mamdani's campaign for the New York State Assembly back in 2019. But before all of that, Eric was just learning how to canvass, how to get involved. And in Astoria, Queens, where he'd recently moved, there was plenty of work to be done.
The race for the Queens District Attorney is finally over. Surrounded by supporters, Caban made the announcement tonight in Astoria.
So this election may be over, but we are just getting started.
When Tiffany Caban lost her district attorney race in 2019, she spoke those words to a crowd of dedicated activists and volunteers who'd taken her just 55 votes shy of a stunning upset. And it turns out she was right. They were just getting started.
There's a Facebook post where I'm like, here's the website I made for Zoran, support him. With Zoran, I was part of the core volunteer team. It was about 10, 15 of us from the very jump of the campaign. And I guess he left enough of an impression on me where when he did ask for the website, I was like, of course, I'm going to do this for you, bro. I'm going to make this for you for free. Let's go. Let's do this.
By October of 2019, Zoran was ready to formally launch his state assembly campaign. The primary election was slated for June of the following summer.
I remember I was with Zoran and a few folks when they were doing that very first canvass at the Bernie rally at Queensbridge.
Queensbridge Houses is one of the largest public housing developments in the country, and Sanders' choice of location was no accident.
And the question that we have got to answer together. Are we prepared to stand up to them?
After years of running elections in Bay Ridge in Southeast Queens, Zoran was perfectly positioned to run the kind of campaign he liked, with a focus on field work. He wanted a contest where his army of volunteers could climb every stairwell, talk with every voter face to face. But sometimes, the world has other plans. I first learned about the pandemic working at the bar when a regular came in with a friend. We got to talking. I learned he was from a place called Wuhan in China. I'd never heard of it. When we met up again later that night, I learned more about a city back home. Everyone was locked inside their apartments, he explained. They had been for weeks. It was a pandemic, but the authorities wouldn't say anything. Nobody knew anything. I tried to warn a few people, bartenders I knew. I don't know if they listened or if it helped. And then, on March 15th, 2020, everything shut down. Eric? He was there from the beginning.
I had a chance to do some canvassing, especially on the earlier end. It was me and Zoran. One of the things that we do is those morning subway canvases. And they're brutal in cold weather because it's 20 degrees. You're on the subway platform. Your pen is freezing. So you have to have pens that get that the right pen, or you have to have some pens stock with behind your jacket so they stay warm so they don't freeze while you're getting the signature at 7 a.m. in the morning. But you still get those signatures, right?
To run in the New York State Assembly, candidates try to collect 1,500 signatures from legal residents of their district.
It was breakneck. It was breakneck. I've never seen anybody so impressive getting petition signatures. Amazing, amazing work. So while Zoran's collecting these signatures, he's wearing a keffiyeh. And this lady sees his keffiyeh and she's Palestinian. And she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, let me grab my mom. And I have a photo of it too, of the three of them standing together.
And then, on March 15th, interactions like that had to stop. Fieldwork, or going door to door, was at first illegal, and then later, terrible optics. Political suicide. Zoran's greatest strength as a campaigner had been effectively neutralized. So, would the campaign even continue? How do you run for office against an entrenched incumbent during a global pandemic? Could the grassroots field-focused model even work when the world had shut down? Eric, Zoran, and a whole grassroots movement in Western Queens were about to find out.
We had to shut down the office, we had to shut everything down, and we had to get serious about, hey, are we following through with this campaign? And we decided, hey, you know, we're going to follow through with this. After that, we had a chance to do got the campaign office, and we were able to use that for a little bit. That was the canvassing opportunities that we had in the beginning. And then for a lot of the middle of it, a lot of it was phone banking.
Coming off a heartbreaking district attorney loss, Shauna Morlock was volunteering constantly. And honestly,
I really hate phone banking in a way that I can't really describe. I did a few Zoran phone banks. And I had to do it for five or six months. It was terrible. It was all phone banking in 2020.
For Shauna, the discomfort of calling strangers on the phone wasn't about to deter her from doing the thankless work of building this movement in her neighborhood.
There was a lot of mutual aid. There was a lot of scrambling and like a lot of like, how do we stand things up? There was a lot of fear, I think we all had right when the pandemic first hit.
For the first time, we are seeing the moments leading up to the arrest of George Floyd.
These demonstrators are ready to confront these law enforcement officers.
Show me what community looks like!
This is what community looks like!
In New York City, in the summer of 2020, the tension was palpable. A senseless police killing had brought tens of thousands of New Yorkers out of their apartments and homes, masked up and ready to protest.
When George Floyd was murdered, that was also like very much a turning point in the energy and the access that we had, or what we felt we were allowed to do in terms of community organizing and support during COVID, you know, during lockdown.
That's Benham Jones. He was one of those New Yorkers trying to find a way to help their neighbors during the early days of the pandemic. Back then, there was nothing formal yet. He was just a member of a small group of friends who wanted to do something tangible, real.
So a bunch of us started going out at first on foot to protests with just like legal aid info and water and snacks and a medic. And then we just kind of graduated. We, you know, the protests just continued every day and kept getting bigger and bigger. So Then when we couldn't do that anymore, we were renting U-Hauls, and then we eventually got this truck that we're in right now, which was community funded, and also half of the cost was a fundraiser by the great American rock band Big Thief. This truck functioned as what we called at the time the People's Bodega, and that's kind of the loose name of a project of like a mobile mutual aid unit.
At the time, there were immediate needs posed by the crisis, and sometimes opportunities. While Benham and his group were expanding their efforts, parallel projects were growing throughout the neighborhood. Groups like 31st Ave Open Streets and Astoria Mutual Aid were active from the start. And even local political candidates had little choice but to step in when faced with the scope of this catastrophe.
We were having volunteer shifts where I would go down, other people would go down, and we would bag food to be served. I think it was during Ramadan, actually, that year.
On Steinway Street, on the far north side of Astoria, Zohra Mamdani's humble campaign office was soon transforming into something different, something new.
And it was really brutal, where we were giving out, you know, bagging food for mosques, and then people would come by while we were bagging the food, asking for food as well, and we had a few to give out. But at some points, there were some moms there where I said, I only have 4 meals here, and you're going to have to divide it between the 2 or 3 of you or something like that.
Activists were creating nonprofits. Campaign offices were transforming into food pantries. Throughout Astoria, people like Benham and Eric were getting to work. I was too. When the shutdown hit, I put together a simple GoFundMe called the Astoria Service Industry Emergency Response Fund, paid for by donations from the small handful of people I knew with disposable income to spare. Over the next month, I got over 40 donations and raised almost $3,000, which we donated directly to local restaurant and bar workers in need. But soon, the money dried up and everyone moved on. So I patted myself on the back and started enjoying the pandemic. For a while there, New York City was awash in premium ingredients and no restaurants to purchase them. Discount prices. There's a picture of me from that spring, during ramp season, grinning like an idiot and gripping a few pounds. I pickled a bunch, put them in everything for weeks. By then, the emergency response fund was firmly behind me. Benham? He was just getting started.
My comrade Cody was really the one who first got the connect. She had this line on this incredible amount of waste that an industrial gourmet bakery up here in the Bronx was getting rid of every day. So the organizer in the South Bronx was utilizing the connection for as long as they could, let my comrade Cody know about it, and we kind of took over what is now this Tuesday pickup when we go and, you know, we estimate on a good day we're picking up 400 pounds of bread.
The need was obvious, and Benham and his crew were filling it. But Zohra's campaign was having a harder time justifying its existence. Their opponent, Arevalo Samotas, was a progressive in good standing with her constituents. She wasn't scandal-ridden, but ultimately, this election wasn't really about Samotas' policies, or even her platform. This was a movement testing its strength, seeing whether they could send a rank-and-file member of the grassroots to the state legislature in Albany.
So we needed to kind of really make our case. The messaging and the comms of the campaign were not shying away from any of these big fights. And one of the things that we did, I think, as well, was just really stigmatize taking money from police unions, which I believe our opponent did.
In late May, just a month before the primary election, a local DSA activist released a spreadsheet documenting political donations from police unions to a number of mainstream New York Democrats, including over $5,000 to to Ilavella Samotas. She immediately scrambled, promising to donate the funds to local charities. But it was too late. The same forces that had carried tens of thousands of New Yorkers onto the street to protest George Floyd's death were also impacting local races. The Black Lives Matter movement and organizations like Make the Road New York had brought the issue of police brutality, racial profiling, straight to the fore. It wasn't a good time to be a member of the political machine. Up until that point, Zohar Mamdani was a relative unknown, and his resume was honestly a little spotty. He led the paid field operation for Cordero Elliott's team in Bay Ridge, and they lost. He was the campaign manager for Ross Barkin, also in Bay Ridge, also lost. He ran the paid field operation for Tiffany Caban in Southeast Queens, and they lost once more. Now, he was trying to primary a 10-year incumbent.
A lot of people didn't show up for us. Our lit didn't have too many organizations on it. AOC did not endorse our race.
While Zohran and Eric were ramping up their state assembly campaign, Benham and his friends were plotting something more local, more focused, more immediate. They were asking themselves, was there a way to turn this ad hoc community organizing into something bigger? Something more sustainable? Perhaps. But first, they need to find a space.
And then, I mean, as the mythology goes, Zohran was doing the 2020 campaign, had an office he couldn't use, so he gave us use of that space to do all those classic food pantry things. What became the Astoria Food Pantry originally started out of our friend Michaela's car.
In that moment, during the crisis of the early pandemic, the walls between activism and organizing, between electoral politics and mutual aid, they were dissolving. What mattered now was feeding people, helping neighbors, coming together.
Mutual aid networks and community support systems have always been going on. I would say that the COVID experience certainly catalyzed a certain level of activity or interest and access, and just, you know, once you realize that, like, wow, the rug could really get fully pulled, you want to know that, like, there is a place that you can go, or you lose your job and you just don't know what to do and you're in a state of paralysis. Who are we going to look to for that support now that we know that, like, the veil is pretty thin?
Benham was part of a group of people who saw an opportunity to build something new and grabbed it.
When the pandemic happened and all of the, you know, the old way of doing business just didn't seem to make so much sense anymore, I think there were a lot of people in Astoria who were like, immediately, because it's the drama club crew, they were like, oh, how can we help? What can we do? There are a lot of, like, Mr. Rogers neighborhood helpers in our community. And that has given rise to a whole amazing infrastructure of new social spaces and community support spaces. And thank God, too, because this whole community and generation of, like, dive bars and art spaces that we had kind of building in Astoria were mostly decimated by the pandemic, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, it turns out that everyone in Astoria is, like, a bisexual do-gooder.
June 23rd, 2020. It's primary day in New York City. Humid but not too hot, the turnout would have been strong most other years. But in the summer of the pandemic, in-person voting was almost unheard of. Most New Yorkers opted to stay home. In New York State Assembly District 36, only 8,000 ballots were cast that day, with Zohran leading that night by just around 600. But there were 10,000 more absentee ballots yet to be counted. And it would be almost a month before the final tally was announced. For volunteers like Shauna, it was all like a bad dream. Deja vu, all over again.
So like that year we were doing vote counting in that same courthouse, you know, in the Queens County Courthouse.
So you went back.
Yeah. And it just masked this time, and the stress was like through the roof again.
On election day, Zoran's lead stood at 600 votes. But as the absentee ballots started coming in, that lead began to shrink.
So one of the first EDs they counted was Queensview in Astoria. And they strongly went with our opponent. And that was the first one we kind of got in, and we were like, oh, it's over. I have this one sheet of paper in this drawer where we were all doing this bizarre sort of math where like, okay, there's only this many votes left, but we have enough of a gap where they can't make those votes up.
I think everyone was like, oh God, not again. You could see that like everyone there was really sick, like so stressed, you know, not physically sick, but just like pulling their hair out, stressed, thinking we might have a repeat of the Tiffany race.
So it was really down to the last minute there.
When the final tally came in, Zoran led by just 262 votes. Nearly a month after Election Day, Iloh Velasimotas would concede.
Later that day, there was a torrential downpour, and we're in Astoria Park, and we're in this torrential downpour. We're also wearing masks because we're still thinking about COVID and stuff like that. And it's outside, we're under the bridge. It's our umbrellas are getting thrown around. It was wild. It was a really great experience.
Just 3 years earlier, Shauna and 10 Perfect Strangers had met in that same park to attempt the impossible. And in the process, had started a revolution. Back then, DSA was young and untested. AOC's win almost felt like a fluke. Now, Zoran, Eric, Shauna, and the rest of Astoria's Democratic Socialists were planting their flag in the ground. Even as Zoran headed up to Albany to start serving Astoria in the state assembly, Benham was getting back to work. At the food pantry, they secured a storefront property in the heart of the neighborhood by 28th Ave and Steinway.
The Zoran era AFP campaign office hybrid thing was not the most conducive to doing food. We did a lot of clothes out of there and stuff, but yeah, the first bread pickup we did in this truck, we filled this truck top to bottom, and we did it out of my friend Cody's kitchen, in which you literally could not move. It was like a brick wall of boxes and bags, and yeah, it was pretty serious business. But yeah, it was crazy. It took days.
Not only did we just elect a really great person, but we also defied the odds that a lot of people didn't really count us in. A lot of people didn't throw their support for us, and that was okay because we threw ourselves at this race so deeply, so fully, that we made it work and we won. And we knew that there was a difference in politics between our opponent and Zoran and the people around Zoran and all of us.
You just have to go for it. When you see that there is kind of lightning in a bottle, you know, you can squander that by sitting back and like taking a break and, you know, like trying to be more analytical, or you can figure out the things that worked, try and work on the ones that didn't work, but you just can't stop moving.
For Benham, what started as a way to help his community has become a way of life.
I've learned so much about how like the community will step in if you ask for help, or if you say you need to step away.
In 2020, I stepped away. My emergency response fund had finished distributing the money I'd raised. And for the rest of the pandemic, I lived a comfortable, unemployed life. My wife and I had recently moved into a new apartment, and we thought we were going to host so many parties in 2020. But then the pandemic hit, and instead we were playing Jackbox games with friends over Zoom. When vaccines were finally available, I went back to working at the bar. It had been a year since I'd last worked. It was chaos. Chronically understaffed, wildly busy. For a few years, I was working all the time. I told myself they needed me in a lot of ways they did. But really, what else was I going to do? Meanwhile, just around the corner, in storefronts and home offices, my neighbors were busy. Building a whole new infrastructure of community organizing, mutual aid, grassroots politics. It would be 5 more years before I got on board.
I have been involved in lots of different kind of community projects over my years in Astoria, and I love this neighborhood, and I'm so grateful for it. And this is just the one that I really want to see stick.
For 6 years now, Benham has been taking his truck to the Bronx and back to pick up bread that's about to be thrown away. He hauls it back to Astoria, where a crew of some dozen plus volunteers await, ready to unload it. Wearing masks and gloves, we'll sort through the haul, cutting baguettes and sourdough loaves into smaller pieces. Some will get put outside in the fridge. People are always waiting. Others will be loaded onto cars and trucks to be shuttled to masjids and churches. Free fridges scattered throughout the borough of Queens.
I want to go away and come back in a decade and be like, hell yes, the food pantry is still there. And it might look really different. It might serve a very different function or whatever. But as long as it's still there and people know that it's a place to go to when you either need help or you want to help, that's a success to me.
6 years after I started the Astoria Service Industry Emergency Response Fund, you can still pull up GoFundMe and find my page. I raised 59% of the goal, $2,939 out of 5,000 attempted. My last donation was $100. 6 years ago. Building something is often the easy part. It can happen by chance, or out of sheer necessity. But sustaining it? I think that's the real work. These days, Benham Jones is the president of the Astoria Food Pantry, an honor he is quick to clarify that was chosen out of a hat.
I almost joke that I say that I've never enjoyed living in New York more. Even though we lost all these incredible spaces, but to see Astoria kind of reorganize itself with the food pantry or the mutual aid network, or even just the concept of community supported infrastructure as the nucleus, has been really exciting. And honestly, it came just in time to save my life, because I was like, I can't keep living in bars anymore. I can't keep doing this.
Since that primary campaign in 2020, Eric Thor's involvement with local politics has only grown. Later that year, he was elected as co-chair of New York City Democratic Socialists. And in 2024, for his final act in that position, formally endorsing his friend Zoha Mamdani for mayor.
These campaigns and the politics that you and so much of yourself that you put into it, if it matures and if you plant these seeds and they grow and they bear wonderful fruit or whatever, that feels really great. But if that work is in turn rewarded and is seeing positive results, you recognize that you're doing something that you're going to carry with you for the next 10, 20, for the rest of your life, you know? I think we're all approaching this as we're building something bigger than ourselves.
All right. Okay.
I go with Benham to the Bronx these days, ride along, and help carry the bread from the rolling bins where they've left it waiting for us, neatly bagged. We drag it back to the truck, throw it on board. I don't go every Tuesday, but I go a lot. I started out last winter when I was newly unemployed and a friend invited me along.
Hello. Thank you. Really appreciate you.
I never expected that it would change my life. But in the here sense, I've plugged into the local community. I got to be a part of an historic political campaign. But honestly,
That is a very good question. And I will check, since I'm going to be in conversation with them about the bread in general, I will check with
them. Okay. Nothing else beats the humble, thankless, anonymous work we do for 1 hour every Tuesday afternoon. It's something real, immediate, helpful.
That's the audio you want.
Blissfully simple and entirely concrete.
For me, it's also, there is something to be said just for, like, to just really show up in service is a way to both humble yourself and learn. To shut your mouth and just pack chickpeas or pack bread or something is a good way to remember, like, what are the things that people really need.
Next time on the People's Republic of Astoria, episode 5, 26 hours. You know, it's almost the whole way to Inwood. It's like 190th Street or something, and my body was just shutting down.
6 a.m. to 9 p.m., polls are open, and you were there all day. And then obviously afterwards, you're partying. I screamed, "We're the mayor," 1,000 times, I think, that night, because we were the campaign.
The People's Republic of Astoria is written, narrated, and produced by Tim Donovan. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. For show notes, more information, and episode transcripts, visit our website at peoplesrepublicpod.com. Music by Perosian. Special thanks to my wife Alice for all of her great ideas, her endless support. Without her, none of this is possible. Thanks to Daisy Luong and Sarah Noe. Special thanks to Benham Jones, Eric Thor, and Shauna Morlock. See you next time in the People's Republic.
Like, people ask me, they're like, "What's the secret to the work?" and I'm usually like, I think it's just like showing up on time and just being reliable.